okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Power. I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
The power.
I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is The Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Won't you just tune in? Welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Ay. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Ay. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Ay. I wouldn't be so unique. Ay. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yep. I wouldn't live under a roof, and yep. I wouldn't be up in this booth, and yep. I wouldn't know He is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise them like the day that He rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these foreign cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't be cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed, so without a doubt. Hey. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the Word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I saw the God, He said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they try to act like they never knew you. But the devil can't do nothing to you. Cause the
power.
I give it to Him. The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
The power.
I give it to Him.
The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
Okay, we are recording. Okay, so here we are. Bold and Beautiful is happening. You know what I'm saying? We back 2021. We're just gonna talk. We don't know where this is going, y'all. We just gonna let it go where it go. We've already been like running our mouths for like 30 minutes already. So we'll just see where the Holy Spirit takes us now. Who wants to go first? Who?
Oh wow. I was gonna say ladies first, right? But it looked like y'all pointing at me. But listen, so we were having a fantastic conversation about trusting God, you know. And this time of pandemic and COVID, the COVID pandemic, it's just like, it's a lot of things happening to people. People are like saying, you know, where is God? Like, what's going on? And we were having a conversation about past experiences. Last month I preached a word called Cast Not Thy Confidence Away. And God told me to remind His people. He told me to ask them at that moment, what was the one thing outside of your salvation that I did for you that blew your mind, that made your faith go through the roof to a whole nother level? You know, and whatever that was, just think about how you felt at that moment. Like when it happened, you know, because I know for me, you know, personally, it was for me. I was delivered from two life sentences, one without parole, plus 70 years after doing 16 years of that, when it looked like it would never happen. And even lawyers and judges, you know, it was just amazing. So to make a long story short, I walked out the jail and it was like, wow, I'm walking into my miracle. But yet day to day, sometimes I forget that I'm living in the miracle because life hits you sometimes. You know, we always, and we were talking about this previous before starting the recording, is that, you know, we as Christians, we put on a facade like, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, everything is well, you know,
hello.
And that's not always so because life hits you, but that doesn't negate the fact that God is good. It's just the fact that now, how do I reconcile what's going on in my life and my relationship with God?
Right.
And that comes back to the place of trust. And God told me to tell His people, remember how that felt at that moment. and take that same confidence into 2021 and face every situation with that same confidence, knowing that if I did it before, that I'll do it again. That's where the trust comes at.
Yeah.
That's it. And I just like to continue on that same vein, because during this season that we've been in for quite a while now, we keep saying, I'm going to trust the Lord, I'm trusting God. But what does that really mean and how does that look? And so I was talking about it earlier with you guys as well as with my small group. And, you know, scripture, we always come back to the scripture, you know, be anxious for nothing. Okay, we've been in this for 10 months now. You said this 10 months ago. Well, are you still anxious? You know, how has he kept us? You know, and when we do feel anxiety come, because it'd be lying if we say, I'm always, you know, fretting not myself. And I'm all, no, you're not. No,
right, right.
Feel some anxiety. And at the end of the day, you know, we're gonna pray, but why can't we start that out in the beginning of the day? You know, realizing, and it's anything we're going through, it's anything that we're going through that's bigger than God. And then we get that peace again, you know, because think about what he's brought us through, where he's delivered us, what he's delivered us from. And think about that feeling we had when we experienced that initial feeling of being delivered. That's how he wants us to walk around that confidence and assurance all the time. And how can we do that? He says, abide in me. And let my word abide in you. And you can continue to ask what you will. You know, continue to delight yourself in me, trusting that I will give you the desires of your heart. You know, but it comes with that intimate relationship. And it's one thing for us to say it with our mouths, but how are we showing thanksgiving towards God and what he's done? How are we being a good steward? You know, how are we encouraging others? I know the other day I talked to a mutual friend of ours. And I heard she'd been going through a whole lot of different things. And when I finally reached out and talked to her and heard her voice, I said, how are you doing? And I said, how are you really doing? Because we hadn't talked in a while. And she shared what was on her heart. And I'm telling you, the things that she was saying, they were so deep. But to talk with her, she's understanding that God is keeping me. She wasn't fretting like, oh, this has been happening. And oh my goodness, this happened. It was matter of fact, this has happened and this is happening. And matter of fact, that happened too. You know, but God is still faithful. And that just gave me such an assurance. She wasn't complaining. She was just stating the fact that the facts that this is what's happening. And along with those facts, God is faithful.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an either or. It doesn't have to be, you know, yes or no. It can be and also, right? I think what we have, and when I say we, I'm using like air quotes, especially, you know, a church folk, right? Is that we always act like we need to present ourselves as if nothing is wrong.
Come on.
And that's not
real.
That's not truth, right? Like truth. We go through stuff and we struggle, but we act like we can't acknowledge it and acknowledge that God is good, even if we're struggling, even if we're at a low point. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what's like really important, is that you can acknowledge something and that doesn't take away from the Trinity. It doesn't take away from God's faithfulness in your life just because we're alive and we're going to go through stuff because we are on this earth.
Yep.
And you can go through it and God can still be good.
Yeah.
One of the ministers I was listening to, he said, you know, what you should always strive to do is start with a yes. He said, modern day, especially, and he was like, you know, he talked about like religious organizations, we always start with, it's either yes or no, it's either you're on this side or you're not. And he was like, it's so much harder to then open yourself up to and allow others to enter in if you start with judgment and a no. That's what the no would stand for. It would be like judgment, you can't come in because. And so he said, but if you start with a yes and you start in a place where you're open to see what something is, right? Because no matter where we find ourselves in the divide on a topic or in, you know, theology or whatever it is, those are still people. Those are still creations of God. They are still in the plan of God, no matter how they view that topic or not, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. if we start with a yes, we can then
like that
place of like openness and acceptance, even if we're not on the same side of an issue. And that was just beautiful to me.
No, that's good too, because like it really comes down to, he said, they shall know you by the love you have one towards another.
That's right.
So, you know,
why can't we get that?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, like, because you might not have the same view as me, you know, or the same, you know, guy, whatever, you know, that doesn't, skin color, whatever, that doesn't change the fact that I'm, and I'm gonna say it this way, that I'm mandated to love you. You know Absolutely. What I'm saying? And the reason why I say it like that is because, man, at this date, I'm supposed to love you. You know what I mean? When I'm facing you at whatever time and then we disagreeing, that I'm mandated, man, at this date, I'm supposed to be loving you. You know what I'm saying? And That's you right. think about that in related, you know, in this relationship and stuff like that. And for real, you know, like a lot of times, like one of the things, the biggest, hardest pill that God that I probably ever have and continue to have to swallow is one thing that God told me. He said, in order for me to have the impact that he wanted me to have in the earth, I had to give people the power to hurt me. That is one of the, I guess, one of the hardest things to swallow all the time, because honestly, it's saying now, put yourself in a vulnerable place in order for yourself to be in a position to be so genuine and connective to a person that no matter what their motive is, that you still break through. And that's not always easy, because everybody doesn't mean you well, you know? Yeah. He's not
telling Especially when you know it.
Yeah, he's not
Jesus knew Judas was coming.
Yeah, but you know, and that's the scripture. That's one of the scriptures that blows me away, right? Because he never asks us to do something he didn't already do, right?
Correct.
You know, he eating at the table, and he knows, he says, the same person who dips their bread and at the same time as me is him, you know?
Yeah.
And then when he came, he says, friend, he didn't say his name. He said, friend. So, and we know that God is not, he can't lie. So if that's how he viewed him at the time he was betraying him, then what does that say? You know, it's amazing when you think about that, right? That's a whole nother topic. But the reality of it is that for real, like you said, it can be I can be uncomfortable with some things, you know what I'm saying? But the reality of it is that things might not be always going straight in the line and how I want it. But the truth of the matter is that God is still good.
Yes.
And that's the part we miss about scripture, is that Elijah, he was like, I don't want to live no more, God. Ain't nobody serving you like I'm serving you.
I'm the only one.
You know, you got people like, for instance, the road of the two men on the road of Emmaus. But Jesus show up, talking to Jesus, can't see him because their eyes were restrained. You know, he hadn't revealed himself at that moment. Like, you ain't heard? Where you been at? They done did that, and it's the third day. Man, he ain't froze, man. You know, and that I'm going fishing. I'm coming too. Everybody else coming too. So, you know, I mean,
come on.
They be crying out, say, how long, Lord, without forget us? How long without forsake us, Lord? You know, he crying out too. Like, listen, you came and anointed me at the age of 15 by Samuel. And now I'm running around for almost 17 years. And I'm saying, for somebody, I tried to serve with all my heart for you.
Because
you know, so. Yeah, I mean, come on, eh? Like I'm supposed to be like, hallelujah? Nah, I'm like, no, it ain't all right now, you know?
And he can even handle that.
It don't always feel good.
Right, so he's saying this, and this is what we forget sometimes, that God already knows and he sees, so why can't we say it?
Yes, yeah. And that's the beauty and the struggle of relationship. I always think of, what is that little boy's name? Oh Lord, but the one he sings a song about people, the one where he's talking about
McReynolds.
Yes, McReynolds, Jonathan McReynolds, the one who sings about they are the best and the worst that you've created. It's about how, like you said, Curtis, about being vulnerable, right? And and stepping into to someone's story, even knowing that your intention is pure, right? But if that intention isn't always mirrored, they have the ability, right, to hurt you. And knowing that even them hurting you is only because they don't even really see themselves for who they are, right? Because yeah. if they were walking in truth, it wouldn't be their desire to hurt you, right?
Exactly.
And so it's always interesting to navigate relationships or even in this time when we're hearing such like, you know, like negative and like violent rhetoric, right? And understanding that these are still like God's creatures, and even knowing that if you had the opportunity to step into their story and to hear where their heart is, right, that they have their own like fears and their own things that motivate them. It's not like they woke up like, oh, I just want, you know, to hate people.
I've been deceived as well.
Right. And so it's so interesting to be alive in this time and to walk with God in this moment and to see like how it's all unfolding. Cause you know, the interesting thing is that like we were purposed to be here, like in this time, and we're purposed to
such a time as today.
Listen,
right? Such a time as this. Cause a lot of reckoning is going on right now. Yes. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. So a lot of reckoning is going on right now.
Absolutely.
And the only way it's going to get done is through us.
Absolutely.
And we must have the mind of Christ. We must have the heart of Christ. If we say we belong to him, how does that look? If he asks us to do, look at Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X. Now these men, when I was in school, they were older men. But now that I'm an older woman, I'm older than they both were.
Yeah.
You know, but they came at that time. And I sent you guys some videos that just really just opened my eyes and touched my heart. And hearing the words from the people who were living during that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, I found a video of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his last sermon on Sunday, the Sunday before he was assassinated. And he was at the National Cathedral here in Washington, D.C. And you know how massive that church is. And you know who the congregation, who he was preaching, speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so articulate and eloquent when he was expressing the poll and just the parallels of what we're going through now. And it's such a truth coming out of his mouth. And here we are 52 years later, and we've seen just life unfold. But what was he seeing as he was preaching, you know?
Is that the one where he says, if your lot is to be a good street sweeper?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's amazing how, you know, when you really think about it, right? Because when I listen to that particular sermon, it reminds you of whatever God, it's basically saying wherever God has placed you. You know, we hear this term all the time in our time right now. Bloom with your planet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at that time, what he was saying is wherever God places you at, let no one be able to put a blemish on your name, but let your name put an impact on somebody's life.
Absolutely.
No matter what it is or where you at, do it with all the pride and heart that you got that God made you seen. And this going back to what you said too, Joy, at the same time too, like knowing that somebody might hurt you, but like, cause if they see themselves, then they really wouldn't want to hurt you.
Right.
And the reality of it is that when we encounter that, right? Because, you know, when we encounter things, you know, it's because God has allowed some things to come into our life for a particular purpose, whether it's to teach us something or whether it's to teach somebody else something. So, you know, are we supposed it, like, even though we might experience a wound, but is our wound supposed to change the world? In other words, leave your fingerprint on the person too, you know? So when you think about that, like, okay, Jesus knew that who he came for was going to put him on the cross. who he loved didn't love him. But at the same time, the same people, and he also knew the people that praised me 1 week is going to crucify me the next week.
Absolutely.
So knowing this, I'm still going to do what I'm called to do because that's who I am.
Yes.
So as believers, like, it's easy though, just like you said, to say it, but when the rubber meets the road, how do you do what Novena just talked about abide in that place, right? And as I'm talking, for real, it's just God just reminding me more and more, like, listen, in order to carry the weight and the purpose that I placed on your life, you have to spend as much time with me as you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I gotta read 6 hours. Nah, it's like how we talking right now. God want to have conversation. I could be at work. You know, I can be eating lunch. And a lot of times, this might be 10 miles, but a lot of times, but God talked to me while I'm in the shower.
Absolutely. Ooh, I do my best me conversations too. With God in the shower. Let me tell you.
Yes.
He knows. God, look here.
He knows. And during this time of isolation, or whatever you want to call it, this quiet time, it's like he silenced everything to get our attention. Yeah. If we don't want to hear his voice, we have to be intentional about not hearing his voice, because it can be so quiet around us. And I just love it. I love quiet. I love to sit and look at his glorious nature and looking at living things just in quiet, because in the quietness we can hear him, you know. And that's that intimacy, you know. Have you been around people who need to have that TV on, need to have that constant chatter? What they're trying to drown out, you know? Because he, as surely as we're breathing, when he promises to never leave us and never forsake us, he means that. And if we ever doubt his presence, let's try to hold out breath. And let's see if he gives us another breath.
Yeah.
Or try not to receive the next breath that he's given. You know, because he's a very present help at all times, not just when we're having problems and trouble, a very present help at all times.
Yeah.
And he keeps his promises. So that's where I am.
Yeah.
Whenever I feel myself getting anxious, whenever I feel myself trying to not have hope, he's like,
how?
Come on, how? How can you not have hope? So when I talk to people and they say, what you doing? My daughter asked me the other day, what you doing tomorrow, Mom?
Breathing in and out.
And receiving the love of Christ and whatever it is he tells me to do, you know? And I just love it because it's real. It is so genuine, because anything can happen today or tomorrow. And the same peace that I have now, I choose to hold on to it because he gave it to me. I was sharing with somebody, well, always talking about God, but it's like he gave us peace. He gave us peace, not the peace of this world, but his peace. And whenever I feel myself getting anxious or angry or bitter or resentful, I know something's out of whack. Something, because it's like somebody's trying to pull that peace or take the peace from me. But he said, you got to hold on to it. You know, hold your peace and let me fight your battle. So I must be trying to fight in my own strength when I feel that. And I mean, it comes. I definitely can get angry. But once I notice it, I have to stop. I have to choose to stop myself and ask myself, what is it? You know, and he normally, it's boundaries. It's always boundaries. Either I've overstepped my boundaries into somebody else's life, or I've allowed them to overstep my boundaries that I've set in place. And right there, that's when I start, you know, digging deeper and stuff. But he's also given us boundaries. You know, we have to respect other people's boundaries, and we have to respect our own boundaries and teach people how to respect our boundaries.
Absolutely.
We have to teach people sometimes how to respect our boundaries. People know when they talk to me, they know exactly what they're going to get. Isn't that true? Y'all know.
And it's lovely too.
Praise the Lord. I want it to be consistent. I don't want people to be wondering, oh, how's she gonna be today? Oh, how? You know exactly how I'm gonna be today, because I'm gonna be consistent.
Yeah. You said something though that you was like, it's funny because it was a situation, like you said, sometimes you can get angry, stuff like that. So I was frustrated about a situation. And I was like, man, I'm doing it. And God said to me, it's a choice. You can choose to feel the way you feel, or you can decide to let your day still be good and have joy and have peace. It's a choice.
Yes.
So, you know, and when you think about like, why, so people like, why be hard then? I'm talking about like even us in Christ, not us per se, but just like, why be hard then? So the answer to that, I believe personally, right, is because prior to you know, having the ability and having the spirit and the empowerment of God, you didn't have no other choice. That was your way of doing things. That was just the way.
That's the way I am.
Yep. So, but now you got a choice. You got a choice because now you can choose something you couldn't choose before.
That's right.
So sometimes it's harder to choose something you're not used to using because you've been using this way all this time.
Yeah.
So, but the more you choose to do the other thing, is the easier it's going to get.
Absolutely.
And the more you connect to, you know, but yeah, it's the choice.
Because there's still consequences. There's always consequences to our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, it's best for us to choose His way, God's way, than any other way, because when we choose God's way, those consequences are totally on Him. The results totally on Him. When you say, I did it your way, because He promised, I'll be with you always. So do it my way. It's hard. It hurt.
I don't want it. What you gonna say to it?
I was gonna say that the power of choice is so important, and we so often give it up and give it to other people and relinquish the authority and power we have in the power of choice. And I mean, that goes from the very beginning, you know, whether you choose life or death, you know, and we sometimes like walk through this life kind of unconsciously, you know, letting our emotions run us, you know, back and forth and, you know, like up and down these roller coasters. And I was like, wait a minute, do my emotions have control over me, or do I have control over my emotions?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can I just make another choice and be like, you know what, I don't like feeling like this. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to.
That's right. It's not a decision.
You may need to process through some stuff, talk some, whatever it is you need to do, but you have the control and authority and the power to choose what you want your day to look like, what you want to feel in a moment. And it's just like super important. And it's so funny because I'm just now thinking like, duh, we are in February. This is Black History Month. So let's acknowledge, you know, Black people, snap, snap, all that good stuff, right?
Yes.
And I hope we get to a point where we don't have a month. I hope we get to a point where we're just a part of the story, so that we don't have to segment and like bring out, you know, these are the 10, 20 Black people who we talk about every year, but that, you know, the contributions are just a part of the American fabric of the story because we've been here since the beginning. And it was so interesting because when you brought up Novena, Utah, I had just read an article about a charter school and in Utah, and they were, you know, celebrating Black History Month. And I think the charter school is predominantly white. I think it's like 70% white, and then, you know, 20% this, and then there's only like, you know, a few Black children in the whole school. And so parents were pulling their children and were allowed to pull their children out of history class because they're talking about Black history. And so I was thinking like I wonder, like, even if because this is a choice that we have. When we talked about people not necessarily seeing themselves correctly, so you may not see me correctly, right, as like a brown person in America. And my daughter isn't in a you know, in an institution where she feels like an other, right? But imagine you as a parent, like, you know, sending your children to school and then the other parents saying, we don't want our children to learn about the history of like your family and the contribution of like brown and black people. And that's just so interesting that we're here in 2021. And then what do we do with those emotions, right? Because you still got to make a choice about these emotions.
That's right. Absolutely right. Right.
And how we move forward, because this is, listen, the father of lies and division mm-hmm. is on the job. Because on ours.
Mm-hmm. Our story is part of the American history.
Yeah.
You know, and no matter how ugly it looks, it's part of the American history. How did all these trees get planted? Especially down south. You know, how the agriculture, you know, how did this country really grow? You know, who sowed the seeds? You know, and it's amazing. We got to face that. We have got to reconcile, you know, and how is that going to look? Because now everybody's seeing, you know, it from a different perspective now. You can't run from it. You can't act like it didn't happen. It was on everybody's screen because we're quiet now.
Yeah.
And so we can't just turn away and say we're too busy. We all have a part in this to work out.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I mean, our own, because it saddens me even more to see young people just go with some AK-47 rifles and stick up this the street corner stores. You know, that hurts just as much, because one place we're marching talking about Black Lives Matter, but it's just challenging. So it's some stuff we got to reconcile within ourselves. It's some stuff we have to reconcile in America. And but it starts with just our own peace. Mm-hmm. Do I still have peace knowing that, you know, we're hurting each other like this, you know? So it starts with just, you know, trusting God and praying and remembering, you know, if he did it before, he can do it again. Because when you think about how, in spite of all the horrible things that have happened to us as a people, here it is, 200, 300 years after freedom, freedom, air quotes. We are a resilient group of people, especially when we work together, not just the Black people, but all people.
Yeah.
When we work together, we are a resilient group of people. So I just believe that God's word is manifesting as we walk it out. You know, his word is manifesting in us.
Amen. Curtis, you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to go back to what you had said too, just pivoting off what you said too, Novena. When you talked about, the power of choice, right? And when I was thinking, when you said that, and then some of the things that Novena had said kind of sparked a thought, you know, also too, like our choices are also what we feed ourselves, or what we're fed. You know, as a believer, I have to be careful to guard my mind and my heart and my eyes, my ears, from what I allow to enter into my spirit, because eventually what I feed upon will just come out of my actions. You know, if I'm feeding myself the word of God, if I'm spending time with God, not saying I got to listen to gospel music all day. You can love Jesus and hear trap music sometimes too. I ain't gonna lie. You know, for all you young
amen.
People.
Amen.
You know, amen.
What I say is that, you know, because it'll come a time where that ain't gonna be your appetite after a while anyway. But the truth of the matter is that I realize that what I feed myself sometimes too, just like what you eat naturally, what I feed myself will determine how my body reacts, my body is, you know. So when I look at America as a whole, And so the choice to do something is because now I've seen and I don't like the taste in my mouth about what I've been fed. The other thing is too, is that it was a point in time where what I was fed and what I saw was the only thing that I was given.
Mm.
You know, so therefore my actions dictated that. So I cry out to God about the youth. I cry out to those that's in impoverished areas because what they see is honestly what they're feeding on. And that's the only thing they think because their perception has been, you know, narrowed to this one space.
Yes.
And then when you got in other individuals who, like, for instance, now this is the part where neighborhoods that you got, because we had people that was around us who didn't have to hustle, but hustle. They find buy them cars, buy them clothes, and everything. Like, why are you out here? You don't even need to be out here. It didn't make sense to us for you to be out, you know?
Right.
So, you know, and it's because they have chosen to eat something that they didn't have to eat, you know? And it's that power of choice again. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, once we get to a place where, because I for real, what happened to me was, it wasn't that that it was another opportunity that was.
Thanks for tuning in to our broadcast. We look forward to introducing young talent and sharing exciting stories with our listeners around the world. So if you have a gift, talent, story, or information to share with us, spoken word, poetry, book, or song to share, if you're an entrepreneur or musician, please contact us at bnbwcstr2016@gmail.com. or on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.